Good morning, everyone. Today's daf in the Darim is Pei Tes. We're beginning today at the Mishnah on the bottom of Pei Ches and Midbeis. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf as learned as Echanish Maslib, Gabriela Bashmuel. We start the new Mishnah and a continuation of the discussion of the topic of Hafaras Nedarim. We're finishing up the 11th parak, the final parak of the Masechta. Our discussion is revolving around the mitzvah of Hafara. The Torah empowers the father or the husband, upon hearing the neder of either the daughter or their wife, to be mefer. This has been the topic of discussion over the course of this parak, and we're going to continue now and discuss the following. The Mishnah opens up, it's a strange Mishnah, not strange, but unusual in the sense that it opens up with a pasuk in Chumash. Let's take a look at this pasuk in Chumash. Again, the halachas of Nedarim, specifically of Hafaras Nedarim, is found in the beginning of Parshas Matos. You can see it in the first Aliyah. Yesterday we discussed the Mishnah, where the Mishnah talked about a person who didn't know about Hafaras Nedarim. Right, he knew about Neder, he just didn't know that he was given the right to be made for the Neder. He didn't know about the topic of Hafara. So as we pointed out yesterday, he made a quip that that person is not listening to laning, he's not listening to it on Monday and Thursday. He listened to it on the Shabbos afternoon. Like, in other words, he had four opportunities in one given week to hear about Hafaras Nedarim. And that's just in 1 year. And then, you know, compound that with year after year, and that's a lot of not listening, or he's listening to laning, he just doesn't understand it. Either way, the Torah describes the husband, the father, and the husband's right to be made for the neder. But then we point this out earlier in the Masechta, but let's point it out now because the Mishnah is about to quote the pasuk. So the Torah says that if a woman is either a katana or nara, if a woman's either katana or nara and she's beveis avia and she's in the house of her father, so her father could be made for the neder. If she is married, so then the husband can be made for the neder. And we spent a lot of time in the previous parak talking about where there's going to be a joint ownership of her neder when both her father and her husband are going to be made for the neder, but that goes back to a previous discussion based on the pesukim. There is a very unique pasuk that's found in the middle of all of this, and that is the following. The pasuk says, I'm reading from the Chumash, the Mishnah quotes it, "V'neder amanu grusha kol asher asra nafshaya kamalaha." If a woman is either a widow or divorcee, anything that she prohibits upon herself is going to sustain, meaning no one can be made for. Now, if you think about the pasuk, you have to ask yourself, it's pretty obvious, meaning the only time that the father or the husband can be made for the neder is only when there is a father or when there is a husband. Or I should say by the father, to be a little more accurate and clear, when the father has jurisdiction over her, meaning either when she's a katara or when she's an ara. But if there is no father and there is no husband, so what else would you have thought? Meaning, who would have been that mystery person who could have been made for the neder? And yet the Torah goes out of its way to clarify that if she's a grusher, if she's an amana, where she no longer has a husband, and by virtue of the fact that she was married, that also means that she was cut off from her father. So the Torah goes out of its way to tell us that she makes a neder, the neder is going to sustain. Okay, I think we would have known that. And that's basically the implied question of the Mishnah. Meaning the Mishnah doesn't articulate this, but the Mishnah quotes the pasuk, and basically the Mishnah is asking implicitly, what is going on with the pasuk? So let's see the Mishnah inside. If I have a vow of either a widow or a divorcee, so yakum aleha, it sustains ketzad. What is the pasuk talking about? Meaning, why does the Torah have to address this situation? Amra harin in nizir lachar shloshim yom afa pishenisei. So the Mishnah injects a chiddush over here, and the chiddush goes like this. And now we're going to understand the novel idea contained. A woman says, "I'm going to be a nazira after 30 days." So in other words, basically what she does is she makes a neder, but she puts a time delay on the neder, right? Not a problem, meaning totally doable, and that the neder will not materialize until 30 days from now. In this particular neder, she wants to be a nazira, which again, as we pointed out time and again, woman could be a nazir, man could be a nazir, woman could be a nazir. So she now is going to be a nazir on time delay, a nazira on time delay. So after 30 days, let's now imagine that within those 30 days, now she gets married. Great. The husband does not have the right to revoke the neder. Interesting. Okay. Well, let's say the chiddush even stronger. Let's say he did hear about it, and let's say he didn't hear about it before they got married. Let's say he hears about it only after they got married. Okay, so let's put everything in place now for the chiddush. The chiddush is that okay? Even though she doesn't become a nazira yet, even though she's going to become a nazira post marriage, now it's true that the husband cannot mefer the nadarim of kodmim, of pre existing conditions, but she's not a nazira yet. So one could have made the argument, now you understand the chiddush, one could have made the argument that the husband has now the power to revoke the neder, because she only made the neder earlier, but the neder didn't actually materialize until after they got married. The chiddush of the Mishnah is, it's too late. The husband can't be made for the neder, because what is the most important characteristic of a neder? The time she utters a neder, the amiras haneder. That's going to be the critical moment of a neder, because she made it when she was single. So therefore, even though it doesn't materialize till later, and even if she gets married during the interim, because she made the neder, she uttered the neder while she was a single. So therefore, the husband can't be made for the neder. That's what the Torah is coming to teach us. So alpha pishin nesis b'tzoch lamiyam ina yochel hafer. Good. Now that's a chiddush. Nadra v'hibur shosabal meferla. And we'll take the chiddush and we'll just simply now move it in the other direction. Let's say she makes the neder when she's married. Okay. And the husband can be made for the neder. Now what does that mean? Ketzad. So Amra Harein Nizir Lachar Lama Yom Afa Pishin Nisam Nizgar Shabasoch Lama Yom Harein Zemufar. Let's say that she makes a neder, and the neder is that she's going to be nazira after 30 days. It's the same case as the previous case, but there's one major difference. In this case, in the second case of the Mishnah, she makes a neder while she's married, and she puts the neder on time delay. And the time delay is that, again, the neder will not materialize until 30 days from now. Fine. And then the husband hears about the neder within the 30 days, responds to the neder with hafara, he revokes the neder, and then afterwards he either divorces or he dies before the 30 days is up. Again, you could have made the argument that, well, look, he revoked the neder, but he didn't really revoke the neder because the neder didn't materialize yet. And maybe the argument could be that because at day 30, she's a single woman, she's either divorced or widowed, so you could have made the argument that now the neder is going to be chal because no one's there to prevent the neder. So once again, the chiddush is going to be the same exact chiddush, that in the world of the nedarim, the most critical moment is going to be the shas amira, the time that she declares the neder. Because she declared the neder when she was married, so therefore the husband now has the right and the power to revoke the neder, even though the neder doesn't materialize until, in this particular scenario, after she's no longer married. Okay, good.
You can say that about any neder because he has to hear it.
We're not talking about the qualification of Yom Shemo. What we're talking about is when do we consider the neder to be a neder? When she uttered the neder, or when the chalos, or when the effect of the neder takes place? So what the Mishnah is teaching us is the former, not the latter. In other words, the utterance of the neder is the critical moment of a neder, even though its effect doesn't take place until later on. Okay. Nadra Baba Yom Niskarsha Baba Yom Mechzir Baba Yom. So let's say she made a neder that day. She got divorced that day. She got remarried that day. And Yochel HaHafer. So the husband can't be made for the neder. Once she goes out on her own, even for one moment, so that's it. That now cuts off the husband's ability to be made for the neder, even if it's the same guy who remarries her, even that very day. So in other words, the chiddush, of course, is it's still Yom Shamo. Yeah, it's still Yom Shamo, but it's not the same husband. It's the same man, but not the same husband who had the original right to be made for the neder. Once she got divorced, that's it. That cuts her off from the husband. She's a grusha. She's a divorcee. And even if she gets remarried, and even if she gets remarried to the same guy, and even if she gets remarried to the same guy on the same day, she still, once she had shas achas, once she had one moment where she was an independent, that now cuts off the husband's ability and right to be made for the neder, and that's it. Adkan, that's the the point of the Mishnah. What do we learn in the Mishnah? The big chiddush in the Mishnah is that when there is a time delay on the neder, she makes the neder now, but the effect of the neder is not going to take place a month from now. So which is the critical moment? The Mishnah taught us the critical moment is Amira, the time that she made the neder. If she made the neder, she uttered the neder, she articulated the neder. So if she articulated while she was a penuya, while she was on her own, so then there is no ability or right of a husband to be made for the neder. Husband, what do you mean husband? Meaning that if the effect of the neder doesn't take place until later on, and in the interim between the time she articulated the neder and the time that she the neder took effect, let's say she got married, still critical moment is articulation. And that works the other way around as well. Let's say she articulated the neder while she was married, and the effect doesn't take place later, and let's imagine that during the effect, at the time of the effect of the neder, she's no longer married. So once again, according to our Mishnah, articulation is the most critical moment. If the husband hears about it while he's still the husband, so then he can annul the neder, even though the effect doesn't take place until later. Tanya, on this point that we learned together in the Mishnah, the Gemara quotes a brisa on a grusha shamra harini nizira lechesha enaseh v'niseis. Let's say over here a divorcee or let me do this accurately. A widow or a divorcee who says that she's going to be a nizira lechesha enaseh when I get married. So in other words, she right now is in the state of being single. She would like to get married, and you know what? What she does is she makes a neder, attaching it to a conditional neder, attaching it to her future marriage. Almost kind of to say I'm just giving a little motivation over here in terms of why she would do that. It's like almost like she's petitioning a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Kadosh Baruch Hu, if you're good enough and you help me get remarried, so I'm going to become a Nazira. Okay, good. So a little bartering, so to say, with a Kadosh Baruch Hu, if you will. When it comes to tzedakah, we're allowed to do that. We're allowed to barter when it comes to tzedakah. So I'm not sure if this really qualifies, but anyway, okay. Maybe just a helpful way to understand what's going on over here. Either way. So, again, there's an articulation of the neder, and then there's the effect of the neder. The articulation took place while she was on her own, and then the effect takes place when she gets married. Okay, now, Venice, then she gets married. Baruch Hashem. Rabbi Yishmael Omer Yafer. So Rabbi Yishmael says, the husband can be made for the neder. What? How? Now, she articulated the neder when she was single. So how could she be made for the neder? Because as we're going to spell out in just a moment, because Rabbi Yishmael doesn't agree with our Mishnah. Meaning, we learned the big chiddush in our Mishnah. As we're about to say in just a second, that Rabbi Yishmael doesn't agree. And look at the next line of the Gemara. Rabbi Kiva Amar Lo Yafer. Rabbi Kiva says, Lo Yafer, that your husband can't be made for the neder. And that is something that sits better with us after having gone through the Mishnah, because of course the husband can't be made for the neder. She didn't articulate the neder while she was married. She articulated the neder while she was single. We learned back in the Mishnah, the critical moment of a neder is articulation. So therefore the husband can't be made for the neder. That's the opinion of Rabbi Kiva. Visimana Yalali. And then, just in case you needed a mnemonic to help you remember what we just learned, so Yud Lamed Lamed Yud. Yud Lamed Lamed Yud is a way of memorization. Meaning, in the first statement, we said Yafer. In the second statement, we said Lo Yafer. So, and Yafer belongs to the opinion of Rabbi Yishmael. Okay. So, you gotta put all those letters together in order to arrive at the conclusion of the mnemonic. Anyway, and let's do this the other way. And again, it's the same point. We're just going to go in both directions. So let's do this another way. Let's say a woman is married and is in a marriage that she'd prefer not to be in. So once again, she makes a petition to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Look, here, upon my divorce, I'm going to be a Nazira. So v'nizgar sha, and she gets a divorce. Rabbi Yishmael Omer lo yafer. So Rabbi Yishmael says, okay, now the husband, when he hears about the neder, not after the divorce, but before, when the husband hears about the neder, so Rabbi Yishmael says he can't be made for the neder. Because again, Rabbi Yishmael is consistent. Given the two options of what's the critical point of a neder? Is it articulation or is it effect? So again, Rabbi Shmuel sides with the effect. It's the effect of the neder. The effect of the neder is only going to take effect after they get a divorce. Therefore, even though she articulated the neder while she was married, but according to Rabbi Shmuel, that's not the critical point of hafara. And Rabbi Akiva, Omer Yafir, now Rabbi Akiva says, no, the husband can be made for the neder. Because even though the neder is not going to take effect after they get a divorce, nevertheless, her articulation came during the marriage. Therefore, it's now within the purview and the right of the husband to be made for such a neder.
How does Rabbi Yishmael deal with the Yom Shamoah concept?
Again, the Yom Shamoah is just telling us from when you hear, but you hear what? So Rabbi Yishmael says you hear the effect of the neder. That's how Rabbi
Yishmael... You hear the effect.
Meaning that, generally speaking, what happens in the world of a neder? You make a neder and it takes effect immediately. What we're doing in these cases is we're separating the articulation and when the neder actually takes effect. We're now.
But the thing is, Yom Shamoah has to do with the date.
Yom Shamoah is from the time that you hear about the neder.
Right.
But so what is the? I understand. But what is the characteristic of the neder that makes it critical? Is it that she articulated the neder, or is it that the neder takes effect? Meaning, Yom Shamoah means he hears. But what is it about the neder that makes it critical? So that's the debate between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel. And the Gemara connects us to Psukim. Rabbi Shmuel, Harehu Omer, I'm sorry, Amar Shmuel, Harehu Omer, V'neda Amano Grusha V'chule. Ashiye Neder B'shas Amanos U'grushin. And Rabbi Shmuel says, look, I have a pasuk that supports me. Well, the Torah says, and Ben, this might be what you've been, you know, what you're pointing out. The Torah says, V'neder. Meaning, granted, obviously a neder starts with an articulation. But what's important about the neder? The fact that you articulate the neder, or the fact that the neder takes effect? Now again, usually you don't see the difference. Usually the point of articulation is the point where it takes effect. Meaning if I no longer want to eat meat and I make a neder, that's it, I'm not eating meat. So generally speaking, that's what happens. I'm making the neder now and the effect of the neder is taking place right now. But Rabbi Yishmael says, but really, when all said and done, what's more critical about a neder? The fact that you say it, or the fact that it takes effect? So Rabbi Yishmael says the fact that it takes effect. That's the most important part of a neder. So therefore, this is supporting Rabbi Yishmael's position that it's the effect, the chalos of the neder, which is more important, more significant.
So and that's the case, when would the husband have a chance to ever?
He wouldn't be. In other words, in the case that we just laid out, where she said, well, "Give me a second. Give me 1 second." Rabbi Akiva Savra Harehu Omer Kol Asher Asral Nafsha, and Rabbi Akiva says, "No, Kol Asher Asral Nafsha, Achi Yehi Isurei Neder B'Shas Amanus VeGerushin." It's the Isurei Neder. Isurei in this context means the time that she declares it to be Asur. So that is Rabbi Akiva's position, and so therefore, according to Rabbi Akiva, it's the point of declaration that becomes the critical moment of her making the neder. If her point of declaration is while she is a grusha, that's it. Meaning that's a neder that is irrevocable. Even though its effect may only take place later on, doesn't matter. If declaration, she was a grusha, she was an amana, so that neder now stands on its own. Good. That takes us through the machlokas between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel, and it certainly seems like our Mishnah is following the opinion of Rabbi Kiva, not Rabbi Shmuel, because that's exactly what we learned in our Mishnah, that if you have a neder where we were able to separate the declaration and the effect, the Mishnah gives a very simple scenario where I'm making the neder now, but I don't want it to take effect until 30 days from now, which isn't within anyone's right to do. If the woman does that, and between the declaration and the effect, either she gets married or she gets divorced, either way, Rabbi Akiva, the Mishnah, I should say, Rabbi Akiva is not mentioned in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, we follow the declaration. If at the time of the declaration she's single, it's irrevocable. If at the time of the declaration she's married, revocable. Okay, now, fine. That's our Mishnah, and it certainly sounds like our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Akiva. Why? Because we learned in the Braisa that the Braisa gives a very similar scenario. There's a point of declaration, and then there's the effect. There's a subtle difference between the case of the Braisa and the case of the Mishnah. The Mishnah, how did we separate the two? So she made it, and she put on time delay. Okay? You put something in the oven, and then you put the oven on a timer. Right? I want it to start now, an hour from now. Fine. So that's right in the analogy. So that's what she did in our Mishnah. The case of the Braisa is a little bit different. And we're going to point out in just a moment, and maybe that difference is going to make all the difference in the world. But the case of the Braisa is, she makes a declaration now, and when is it going to take effect? Either when she gets married, or when she gets a divorce. So once again, the declaration's here, the effect takes place over here, and then we're looking at what if her status changes in between. Rabbi Kiva says, everything's based on declaration. Rabbi Shmuel says, no, everything is based on effect. Good. Ad Khan, that seems to be up until now the presentation of this discussion, and our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Akiva, to which the Gemara says maybe it's a little more nuanced. Let's go back to the Gemara. I'm sorry, we did this. I'm Rav Chista. Masisim Rabbi Akiva. So Rav Chista arrives at the conclusion that we just said. Our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Akiva. Nice, simple, straightforward, seems to be. Abai Amar Filatim Rabbi Shmuel. And Abai says, no, I think this could be a more nuanced discussion. And our Mishnah, now mind you, by the way, our Mishnah doesn't utter a word about Rabbi Akiva. Could be that our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Akiva, and it's also going like Rabbi Shmuel. That's a neat trick. How does that work? Masisin Talyanav Shebi Yuma, Braisa Talyanav Shebi Nisuin. Because even though both in the Mishnah and in the Braisa, we separated the declaration and the effect of the neder, but there is a difference between the Mishnah and the Braisa, and maybe that's all the difference in the world. So, Talyanav Shebi Nisuin. Shama Yuma Velo Nisgarsha. Shama Yuma Velo Misnasva. So, because look, in our Mishnah, what's happening? What's happening is, she articulates a neder, and she puts a delay on the neder. But it's a time delay. It's 30 days. You know what the magic of a time delay is? It doesn't matter what else happens. Ultimately, when all is said and done, the neder is going to take effect, and you know exactly when it's going to take effect. It's just simply put on delay. So in the case of our Mishnah, look, we did separate the declaration and the effect. But we separated with something which is a constant, which is a known. It's inevitable. The neder is going to take effect. So maybe in our Mishnah, maybe there will be agreement between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel. Because in our Mishnah, yeah, we separated it, but we separated it with something which is a known entity. Masha Inkein in the case of the Braisa. In the case of the Braisa, how would we separate the neder and the effect? She's making the neder now, but the effect will take place, but only if X, Y, or Z happens. Only if I get married does the neder take effect. Only if I get a divorce, the neder takes effect. So now she's connecting it with something which is not an absolute. It's not a constant. It's something which is may or may not happen. Okay, that's different. And why is that different? Because now you could say that because we don't know that it's the neder is going to take effect or not, so that consequence of either I get married or I get to get divorced becomes so much more significant because it may or may not happen. So therefore, Rabbi Shmuel says, in that case over there, the more critical component is going to be the actual effect of the neder because we don't even know if the neder is going to take effect. As opposed to our Mishnah, we know the neder is going to take effect. It's just going to be on delay. It's just going to be 30 days from now. But we know it's going to take effect. So therefore, in our Mishnah, it could be, says Abaye, that both Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel agree that articulation becomes so significant. And at the time of articulation, if she was single, irrevocable. If she was married, revocable. And as opposed to the Braisa, so we're now Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel debate. The Mishnah says we're going on in the Gemara Zeh HaKlal. We learned in the Mishnah this is the rule. Diktani Gabi Nara Amarasa Lasuye. I'm sorry, Lasuye Mai. I added a word in the Gemara. Forgive me, but basically what the Gemara is bothered by is the following. You know, you've gone through enough Gemara. You know, any time the Mishnah sums itself up, so the Mishnah is not just giving a summary statement. The Mishnah is coming to add a point. What's the point that's being added in the Mishnah? So the Gemara goes on to explain. Halacha avim shluchei habal. O shahalchu shluchei av im shluchei habal. So the best way to see this is by Rivka and Eliezer. Right? In the good old days, so how did you make a shidduch? So dating... Right, matchmaking. Okay, yes, but back in the good old days, so really the parents were the ones who arranged the marriage. And there is a halacha we're going to see together in Kedushin. The woman should see the man before they get married. And the man should see the woman before they get married. Do you know why that is? I mean, the answer is intuitive and obvious, but I'm just reminding you what the Gemara says. We're going to see the Gemara later on in Masechta Kedushin. The pasuk says "Vahavta l'recha kamocha," right? If you don't see her before you get married, so you don't know if it's going to, you know, if it's really that that compatible. You don't know if it's going to work out, and then you're going to end up in a situation where you're going to be living with somebody and. This may not work out. So there is a halacha that the man should see the woman before he marries her. I understand, kind of intuitive, but the Gemara, that's the Gemara in Kedusha. So anyway, but we're right now, again, we're just speaking about this super clinically, and that is the following. Let's say that she's being handed over from the father to the husband. And let's say that, just to make this more clinical, it's done through shlichus, it's done through agency. So, at what point now do we look at the critical moment of transfer from the father over to the husband? So, that's exactly what we're discussing. Halacha avim shluchei habaal. So let's say the husband, instead of going out himself to bring in his new wife, he sends in shlichim. Okay. And she now goes with the shliach of her new husband, but the father hasn't yet left her. So, or to treat this even more clinically, let's say the father says, you know what, I'm not ready for her to leave me yet, but I'm not going to go with her. I'll send my own shliach to go with her. So Benara Amurasa, Davi Obala Mafir Nedereha. So in the case of Nara Amurasa, so because the father either physically himself or through appointment of shliach is still with her, on her way to her new husband's house. So at this point in time, there's still an attachment between her and her father, and therefore she's still Nara Hamurasa. And therefore, she's still under joint ownership, so to say. Ownership, I mean, in the context of Nadarim. She's still under joint jurisdiction of both her father and her husband, and therefore, both of them are still going to be made for Nadar. So Zel Klal Diktani Gabe Ve'elu Nadarim. Okay, fine. I'm sorry. Period. So that's the chiddush over there, that as long as either the father or shliach of the father is still with her, even though she was picked up by the husband, or even the shliach of the husband, she's still under the domain of the father. And zakhlat diktan gabe veil in the dharma lastuya masra avla shluchei habaal, shem masra shluchei avla shluchei habaal, shein habaal mefer bekodmim. And our Mishnah, I'm sorry, that's the Mishnah in Ksuvos. I should have made that clearer. Our Mishnah over here discusses a scenario where the father hands her over to the husband, either to the shliach of the husband or to the husband herself, and now she's within the she's within the reshus of her husband exclusively, to the exclusion of her father. At that point in time now, she is fully married nisuin, and at that point in time, the husband can only be made for the neder from this point going forward, and no pre-existing conditions can be mufar, can be revoked by the husband. Adkan. That's what our Mishnah is coming to teach us. Yeah, in other words, correct. Meaning after the second stage of marriage with Nisuin, so the father himself loses his jurisdiction. Okay, Adkan, that takes us to the end of the Mishnah. Again, just to quickly summarize, the Mishnah taught us that if there is a separation between the declaration of the neder and the effect of the neder, what becomes the critical moment? Our Mishnah says declaration. We learn together in the Braisa, it's a machlokus between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Kiva says declaration. Rabbi Shmuel says the effect of the neder. Our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Kiva, so it says Rav Chista. And Abaye in the Gemara says maybe not. Maybe our Mishnah could even be going like Rabbi Yishmael, because our Mishnah, yes, it's true there's a separation, but the only separation is created by a time delay, and you know that that's going to be a finite limit. And so therefore, the Rabbi Yishmael may agree with Rabbi Kiva in our Mishnah. When all said and done, by the way, this point becomes a slightly academic, not academic, it's Torah, but in other words, the Ran points out the halacha falls like Rabbi Kiva. So even if our Mishnah were to go only like Rabbi Kiva, but that's the halacha goes like Rabbi Kiva, declaration becomes a significant part of a neder.
So it
depends what she was at the point of declaration. If she was married, a husband could revoke it.
Right.
If she was single or not married at the time,
if she says that at the time she's married, said after she's divorced, she's going to be.
Right.
It's not going to be in effect for the husband. So what?
No, after the divorce and then
before the divorce.
Before
the divorce, she says this.
Uh huh.
And then it doesn't affect the husband.
Well, but we don't know. We don't know what the actual neder was. In other words,
is that she's going to be a nazir or whatever.
Right. So nazira is inui nefesh.
But after the husband, after she's divorced, she says.
Right, but Rabbi Akiva tells us that you're right. In other words, it's only going to take effect later.
Right.
But Rabbi Akiva says, but look, when we're looking at a neder, the point of declaration becomes critical.
You mean it's not affecting us?
Correct. Teisha na'aros nidreim kayamim. Okay, 9 na'aros where the neder is going to sustain. Now we're going to go through 9 different cases over here. The Ron points out, and we'll say, let's say this right now. There are not really 9 different cases. There really are 3 different cases. And the Mishnah is confusing, and the Ron says, and by design. and why? Isn't the point of the Mishnah to give us halacha as clearly and as succinctly as possible? And 9 out of 10 times, 99 out of 100 times, the answer to that question is yes. But sometimes, by design, the Mishnah is meant to be confusing and somewhat convoluted. And I'll read to you from the Ron. And the Ron writes, first Ron in the Mishnah. The Ron is on the bottom of Pei Tetz Amud Aleph in the Mishnah. Hanach Teisha, I'm reading from the Ron. Hanach Teisha Kulu Isnehu Bechlal Tlas. Really, even though we haven't seen the Mishnah yet, but it's just a good way, it's good to introduce it now, so that when we get through the Mishnah, you'll be like, okay, I know how to organize everything. Really, there are 3 categories in the Mishnah, not 9. Dahainu yisoma bechayav, v'yisoma mamash u'bogeres. And the 3 categories are, either that she's an orphan while the father's still alive, we'll see what that means in just a second, or she's an actual orphan, or she's a bogeres. She has gone through all stages of development, where now she's a bogeres, she's a mature adult, 12 and a half years of age, I know. She's a mature adult, and that's it. And she no longer is under the jurisdiction of the father. In all 3 of these cases, she has left the domain of her father. And when we get to the Gemara, we're going to see that really, even though there are 9 cases, but there really are 3 categories. But what we're going to see in just a moment is that what Rabbi Yehuda does is he takes of these 3 categories, subdivides all 3 of these categories into 3 different cases. Each category, 3 cases. 3 times 3 is 9. That's how you got to 9 cases in the Mishnah. And why is Rabbi Yehuda now in our Mishnah being difficult? Why is he, if the Mishnah can be categorized in 3 cases, why do we turn 3 into 9? What's with the exponential growth? So the Ron quotes a Gemara Yerushalmi that sometimes it is important, and this is good educational instruction, sometimes it's important to be a little difficult and a little bit convoluted, and maybe even sometimes wrong, although that's not really what we're saying here, but sometimes the chadeh satamidim. You say something deliberately confusing or misleading, but with the design and plan that they're listening, they're hearing you, and they're going to correct you. Right? Laning, I think, is sometimes the best example, although sometimes I think it's overdone. But Laning is such a good example where, how do you know everyone's listening? Because if the Baal Kore makes a mistake, so everyone corrects the Baal Kore, and, you know, sometimes it's not done with, you know, the... With as much class as could be done, but still, from an educational standpoint, it's excellent. Meaning, everyone's listening, right? They're correcting them. Okay, good. So sometimes the Yerushalmi says, "Good, that's what's happening in our Mishnah." Let's see the Mishnah now inside. Teishanaros nedreim kayamim bogeres v'yisoma. So she is either a bogeres and she's also an orphan. Now again, mind you, of course, that either one by themselves would exit her from the rishus of the father. And again, we're adding more points than necessary over here, but again, just to make sure that we got everything clear. Bogeres v'yisoma is number 1. Nara ubagra v'yisoma. She is a nara, and then she becomes a bogeres, meaning, as the Ron points out, she made the neder when she was a nara, and then she is bagra afterwards, and the yisoma, and she is a yisoma. She's an orphan, meaning in this case, orphan b'chayav while the father's alive. So again, I'll explain that in just a moment. So nara shelo bagra v'hi yisoma, or a Nara that does not become a Begarish, but she's a Yesoma. So in all these cases over here, so basically what's happening is that it is all really one case. Yes, a number of other features are added, but again, just lechades atamin, just to make sure that we're sharpened, and we realize that really the most critical issue over here is that she is an orphan. Orphan in the first three cases over here does not mean that she's an orphan, she lost her father. Orphan meaning that she was disconnected from the father. How does that be? Again, let's take a look back at the round. First round in the Gemara. No, first round in the Mishnah. I'm sorry, we didn't start the Gemara. Second wide line. Bogeres v'yisoma. She nadra kishi bogeres. She made a neder when she was bogeres v'yisoma b'chayav kagon. She nisis v'nesalmana. And the way that works is as follows. She got married and she got widowed. Or in his garsha, she became divorced. The cave and the nisha shuv ein lavir v'shus ba. It's a point that we made earlier in the Masechta. But now we're going to say it again. Once a girl goes through nisuin, and specifically in the suing, the second stage of marriage, it doesn't matter what age she is at, once she goes through first and second stage of marriage, that's it. She is now detached from the father, even if the marriage is severed, either through death or divorce. She no longer returns to the father. Now you may remember earlier a number of scenarios where she does return to the father, but that's only after erusin. Not after Nisuan. Nisuan cuts her off from the father. So those are all the...
Orphan means attachment.
Hmm?
Orphan means attachment.
In the first cases of the Mishnah, that it means attachment. Okay. No. What do you mean? Come to me after. We'll discuss it afterwards. Okay. Next. Nara Shalom Ba'agra Vihi is. I'm sorry. First cases are Bogeres Vihi Yisoma, Nara Ba'agra Vihi Yisoma, and Nara Shalom Ba'agra Vihi Yisoma. Okay. Next. Bogeres Umeis Avia. Nara Bogeres Umeis Avia. Nara Shalom Ba'agra Umeis Avia. So the next three cases again. A bunch of other factors are added, but really the critical factor over here in the second round of three cases is mesavia, that the father dies. Father dies, obviously disconnected from the father. Nara shemesavia, mishemesavia bagra, bogeres vaavia kayam, nara, vaavia kayam, nara bogeres vaavia kayam. So in these last three rounds, what happens? She becomes a bogeres. She becomes a fully developed woman. Again, from 0 to 12, she's a ketana. 12 to 12 and a half, she's a nara. An adult, but still under the jurisdiction of the father. And by bagrus, by after 12 and a half years of age, so now she's on her own, disconnected from her father, and therefore, father no longer has the right to revoke the neder. Rav Yehuda Amar, af ha-mesi bito ketana v'nesama nesgasha, v'chazra etzla adayin hinara. And Rav Yehuda adds to this list that even if the father marries her off when she's a ketana, which is within the right of the father to do, Torah empowers the father to marry her off his daughter, even while she's a ketana, and she is nesama nesgasha, and the marriage severs either through death or divorce. So, and she goes back. Adain hinara. She's still in a state of being a nara. Amar Rav Yehuda. Amarav zu divrei Rabbi Yehuda. These are all the words of Rabbi Yehuda. V'chachamim shalosh naros nedreim kayam and bogeres v'yisoma v'yisoma b'chayav. The chachamim say it's three. It's not nine. Now again, what just happened over here? Again, the round points out, nothing happened over here. Not nothing. But no significant changes have been made. The point is that really in our Mishnah, even though the Mishnah says nine, it's really three. Why does our Mishnah take every category and subdivide into three separate cases in every category? Three times three is nine. So again, Rabbi Yehuda is just simply mechadet as the Talmidim. He's coming to sharpen the students, and the Chachamim said, okay, I will sharpen the students another time. Just to keep everything straight, there are three different scenarios where a woman is going to be disconnected from her father, either through Nisuin, or through the death of the father, or through her becoming a Bogeres. Okay.
What if she's like a minor and she does Mion, like the mother and brothers marry her? What if then she, once she's married, she's only to the husband, right? There's nobody else to do it, right?
Well, the only way Mina is going to happen is if there's no longer a father.
No, but I'm saying, right.
All right.
What I'm saying is that while she's married as a minor, right, only the husband can be here for Mina, right?
Yeah, so I don't remember.
What about the Arusa period? What happens is that?
Right. I don't know. I don't remember. I think I'm sure we touched upon it earlier. I don't remember. Okay, let's do the next. Let's finish up the next Mishnah and the ensuing Gemara's discussion. We're going to stop a little before the bottom of the Amud because, from the point of Ha'u Gavra, that's already it's not a new topic, but it goes well into tomorrow's daf. So let's go through the Mishnah and the Gemara. Konim sheninena la'aba ulavicha im oseani apicha. Okay, so in this Mishnah over here, she makes a neder, but she attaches it to a condition. Something we're very used to in the world of nedarim, so you could do that. You can make a neder, but you can make the neder contingent on a particular action. And that's exactly what happens happening in our Mishnah. See, the neder is, I'm not going to get benefit either to my father or your father if I do anything for you. Okay. So here we have now a neder, and we have a tanai, we have a condition that's going to trigger off the neder. So, im osa ani apicha, she'eni nenes lecha, im osa ani api abba ve'api avicha. And in the second case of the Mishnah, it's basically, once again, a neder and a tanai. Just over here, it's inverted. I'm not going to get any benefit from you if I do something for either my father or for your father. So a service towards her father or her father-in-law is going to trigger off a neder that will directly affect her and her husband. Hare ze yafer. In both of these cases, even though the neder has not yet materialized, and even though it's a latent neder, ready to be materialized only upon the triggering of it with the condition, nevertheless, it's at this point in time that the husband has the right to revoke the neder, even though it's not yet a materialized neder.
Well,
the last one which we were talking about, we separate the neder and its right. And its actualization. And over here,
separating the tonight from the.
Right. Over here, we are separating the articulation of the neder and the effect of the neder. What we're discussing right now is, when exactly can the husband be made for the neder? Can he do so in its latent stage? Or does he have to wait until it actually materializes? It is similar, but now.
What is the actualization and what is the tanai?
Correct. Now, let's in the previous Mishnah, by the way, there was no tanai, just put on delay.
Right.
Okay. So, no, in other words, no, from the time that he hears it. But what's being taught to us in the Mishnah is that even in its latent form, it still functions as a neder, functions meaning that the husband can revoke it, even though it hasn't materialized as of yet. Why both cases in the Mishnah, which basically are making the same point? Let's take a look at the Ran together. Nirabe Inai, okay, the Ran and the Mishnah. Ran runs right alongside where we are in the Gemara. Nirabe Inai, I think, says Ran, Delo zuav zukatani di'itan reisha balachot sakadach amina demishum achi achol afer. Mishum demehashem mitzra, iba nasavia, mishum nidra, iba mashetase, lefiv mishum tanai. The came the like of Bechad Manach Gavne, mid degree of fame, midvarm shebeno levena, mishum hachi afer, the came shekane chal haneder mikra. So in the first case of the Mishnah, look, let's analyze that first case of the Mishnah, says Iran. In the first case of the Mishnah, so the neder is, I'm not going to get benefit from either your father or from my father, im ose ani apicha, if I serve you anything. It is a. I'm just presenting the Ran in English. This is a pretty inevitable neder, meaning that in the marriage, in the construct of a marriage, she's going to serve him. She has to serve him. It's going to happen. So yeah, it's a latent neder, but it's really not that latent. Meaning it's something which is going to be realized just in the course of a given marriage. So basically, yes, it's true that she made a neder and she connected it to a tanai, but it's a tanai that's pretty inevitable. And so if I only had the first case in the Mishnah, the Ran says, it's not that big a chiddush. But now we get to the second case of the Mishnah. And the second case of the Mishnah is a much bigger chiddush. Aval, Continuing now in the Ran. Bishanina and Slachi Mosani Alpi Abba ve Alpi Avicha de Bahabitanadi da Lezba lo inu in Nefesh Balomishudvar Bishbeno Lebena. Let's consider now the second case of the Mishnah, where the nether is, I'm not going to benefit from you, she says to the husband. But only if I don't serve my father, if I don't serve my father-in-law. That's not inevitable. It's likely, but that's not as inevitable as in the first case. And on top of that, look, if she could stay away from this neder, if she doesn't serve her father, doesn't serve her husband. I'm sorry. She doesn't, let me say it correctly. She doesn't serve her father, she doesn't serve her father-in-law. The neder now is avoidable, so maybe Saka dat chamina de la mati mefer. So now, you understand, the havamina would have been that the husband can't be made for such a neder, because a neder right now exists in a latent state. A neder has not been materialized. It is connected to a condition, and the condition really has nothing to do with her husband. The condition has to do with either her father or her father-in-law. And so in a havamina, you might have thought that at this juncture, the husband can't be made for the neder. That's the chiddush of the Mishnah, says the Ran. Kamash malan kevan detalsa tana bedavishi yasuya la'avor alav. But since, however, we're talking about her father, her father-in-law, it's not inescapable, but it's pretty hard to get out of. The idea that she's never going to serve her father again, and she's never going to serve her father-in-law again. Right? These are direct relatives. And I mean, we could also add the point that she still has a mitzvah, although it's a muted mitzvah, she still has a mitzvah of kibbutz
av aim. Right, and that extends to father-in-law also.
And extends to father-in-law. But I say it's muted because the Gemara Kedushin teaches us that once a woman is married, so the husband comes before her parents. So there is a muted mitzvah of kibbut avim. So she ev shalisha shetamid atzma shalaviv ulavia. So, but still, so the Ran says, look, it's pretty inescapable. In other words, she's going to come into some kind of sort of contact with her father and her father-in-law, and she's going to serve them at one point in time. So because it's pretty inevitable, not as inevitable as in the first case of the Mishnah, but because it's pretty inevitable, so we could look at the neder right here, right now, even though the neder exists in its latent state, and the neder has not yet materialized because she has not yet triggered off the neder, but because we're looking at a neder that's pretty inevitable, so therefore the husband at this stage could be made for the neder. Even though it didn't actually take effect yet, the husband has the right to be made for such a neder. That's the chiddush of our Mishnah. Tanya, we're going to learn in a braisa. She'eni nenes. La'aba la'vicha. Imani osa la'ficha. Okay, so the braisa over here is exactly the same case as our Mishnah. But what are we going to learn together in the braisa? Subject to a machlokas. Rabbi Nassan amar lo yafer v'chacham emarim yafer. So Rabbi Nassan says that the husband can't be made for the neder. Why? Because Rabbi Nassan's of the opinion that if the neder has not yet materialized, the husband does not have the right to revoke the neder. And the chachamim, who, by the way, and this one's clear, the chachamim who go like our Mishnah is of the opinion, no, that as long as the neder has been articulated and it's connected with a tanai, and the tanai is an inevitable tanai, so then the husband has the right to revoke it at this point in time. Netula ani mina yehudim. A woman says that she's going to make a neder, creating prohibition between her and every Jew on this earth. Im misham shatech. If I have relations with you, so again, she is making a neder, connecting it between. Connecting the neder to the condition that she is going to be with her husband. So Rabbi Nassan amar lo yafer v'chacham emarim yafer. So Rabbi Nassan says that the husband can be made for the neder. Why not? It's a powerful neder. And that she prohibits herself to all Jews, and the tanai is based on the relationship between her and her husband. But again, Rabbi Nassan's consistent. It's latent. The neder has not yet materialized. The husband's ability to revoke the neder is only after the materialization of the neder. And the chachamim disagree. And the chachamim say no. Yafer, in other words, because the neder right now, even though it's in a latent state, is pretty inevitable. And here, pretty inevitable is pretty powerful. Meaning, we're talking about relations between a husband and wife. So therefore, the Mishnah says, I'm sorry, the Braisa says that the chachamim say it can be made for at this point.
But at the end of the marriage,
she's already prohibited to everybody. So what was it?
Is that for future?
It'll affect her future. Meaning that
having divorce.
Right. Correct. Absolutely correct. So good. So that's the Mishnah. The Mishnah teaches us that latent nedarim, meaning that the neder, she makes a neder, but she connects it to a condition. But the condition is very likely that it'll occur. And again, the Ran goes through both cases. And by the way, the Ran I did not read is the Ran in the Gemara where he does the same thing in the Gemara as well. The Braisa gave us two cases. But again, the Ran goes through why the need for the two cases. Each one accentuates the position of the Chachamim and Rabbi Nassan. Each one, you know, accentuates one of their positions. So the point is that even though it's a neder in waiting, but because the trigger for the neder is pretty inevitable, right? It's an accessible trigger and an inevitable trigger. So therefore, the husband has the power and the right to revoke it at the time when he actually hears it. That kind of takes us to the end. Tomorrow we start with Ha'u Gavra. Interesting story coming up. Okay, and Sunday, Mirza Hashem, we finish the Masechta Monday of this coming week, beginning of the school year and the beginning of Masechta Nazir. So please, everyone, get excited for the next upcoming Masechta. Next Masechta, 65 blot, if I remember correctly, I think. Right there. So, and that'll take us... No, 60... Yeah. Yes. Correct. Yes, in fact... I think we finished sometime in Hanukkah.